Okay, thanks everyone. A really warm welcome to tonight's event. So this is our Year 7 curriculum and aspiration evening. So we're really, really happy that you've come along this evening. I'm going to, in a moment, explain the format and what you can expect from us. But there's just a couple of things I need to do before we go into that. The first thing is just the usual housekeeping arrangements. We're not expecting to have the fire alarm to sound. We've already actually had a fire drill today. It was a planned one. It went really well. We had the whole school evacuate safely. But we're not expecting one this evening. So if the fire alarm does sound, then please just make your way down out of the door in which you've entered the hall, turn left, and then exit through the external doors through which you arrived. And then the other thing I want to say while you're here as Year 7 parents and families is just what a really positive start Year 7 have made to their journey at the Radcliffe Clough School. To see them all taking part in that, all really actively engaged in all the activities that that took place on that day. And I think it was really helpful for them to bond together, to get to know each other a little bit better, and to get to know members of staff as well. But 1 month in, we think they've settled really well. So thank you for your ongoing support with that. And we trust that they'll continue to make really good progress. So tonight's event is really an opportunity for us to give you some information about how things are done at school. So a little bit more detail about how things operate regarding the curriculum and the teaching and learning that students experience. You'll see also we've got an input on literacy, which is really important, and then also aspirations as well to conclude. So it's our opportunity to share these things with you, and also to hopefully give you some information about how you can support your child to continue to settle well, to continue that transition from primary school, and then continue to be successful here at the Radcliffe School. Now, the whole presentation is being recorded, so please don't think you need to make copious notes or remember everything that's going to be presented to you. So the recording and the slideshow will be made available on the website in a few days' time. So if there's anything that you want to go back and check, you'll have the opportunity to do so. And really, I mean, I've said that one of the sections today we're going to talk about is aspirations. And over the next 5 years, we're going to provide a really rich and broad education for your child, and we're going to develop them as people, as well as supporting them to be successful from an academic point of view. But you know, one thing that we are building towards already is this day in 5 years' time when it will be their GCSE results day, and they'll open their envelopes and they'll see the outcomes that they get. So there are some photos from our class of 2025, the year 11s who've just left us. And I know that seems a long way off, but I think what we would always really want to emphasise with all families is that the students who are successful in the long term are the ones who establish really good study habits at an early age, and getting into those good habits, working well in school, working well at home, just that drip feed of continual effort really, really does pay dividends in the long term. And we were really proud at the GCSE outcomes that we got from our students in 2025, and we would look for our current Year 7s to at least achieve the same and hopefully even exceed those really high scores. So I'm going to pass now to our first speaker, who is Miss Catlow, who is the Deputy Head Teacher in charge of Quality of Education.
Good evening. Can I just reiterate how wonderful it is to see so many of you here? Because as Mr. Craig said, it really is about starting now, year 11, build those high aspirations and strong routines ready for year 11. Those year 11 students who left us in the summer, who have achieved the fantastic results that they did and have managed to then go on the pathways that they've chosen, they did that because they had their parental support, they worked hard, but they didn't start that in year 11, they started it in year 7. because it is about routines, it is about habits, and it is about a body of knowledge and education that the students will develop over the 5 years. So thank you for being here at this starting point, because your support is what will make that difference for them. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about our curriculum, just to give you an overview of what our vision and our intent for our curriculum is, and to really make clear to you what it is we want for the young people at the Radcliffe School. We are committed to providing all young people with the highest quality of education for them to achieve their personal excellence. And excellence is one of our three core values here at the Radcliffe School, together with respect and kindness. And we really talk to our students regularly about what we mean by excellence. And yes, excellence can be achieving lots of grade 9 GCSEs at the end of year 11. Excellence can be getting the top mark in a test. It can be running the fastest in the race in PE. But excellence is also about just doing the best that you can do, because not everybody's going to come top. Not everybody's going to come first. But what we say to our students is, if you can leave every test, every exam, every experience, and can reflect and think, I did the very best that I could do then, I couldn't have done any more, then you have achieved your personal excellence. And that isn't always about coming first, it's about doing the best that you can. So when we talk about the vision for the curriculum, we talk about wanting to build knowledge, because knowledge is power. And I know that's a cliche, but knowledge is what gives students the confidence and the ability to be able to take a seat at any table and join in that discussion. And our students should be able to leave us and join tables with students from Bluecoat, from Oxford University, from London, from America, and be able to hold their own. And that will come from developing that body of knowledge. And that is how we will tackle social inequality. So there's a huge amount going on in our world at the minute, and we see lots of it in the media about how people feel that they have been disenfranchised, they feel that they're not part of their communities, and that they don't have equal access to services and to opportunities. But we strongly believe here that actually the fix to all of that is for our students to leave us with a really strong knowledge base translated into really good qualifications, where they can then have access to whatever pathway they want, and to take with them that confidence that they know what they're talking about when they're in those conversations. Because that is what will give them the best possible chance of success. Being able to say, I've achieved highly, I've got my qualifications, I've got what I need to take the next steps, but also I'm confident, I'm resilient, I can work independently, and I can go out into the world and hold my own. And what we want more than anything is for us, Radcliffe, to be able to make of your contributions to their communities, be that the community of the Radcliffe School, of your families, of your streets and your towns, or any other communities that they choose to move to and join as they grow older. And I sort of say in my assemblies that if we send our students out with 10 grade nines at the end of year 11, but they're not very nice people, we haven't done our jobs. Because actually going out and being successful is not just about those qualifications, although they are incredibly important, but it is also about having developed those skills of kindness and respect and wanting to help others that will then make our young people the rounded individuals who can go out and be amazing. So in terms of how we intend to do that, well, we provide a purposeful and rich curriculum. We make sure that we offer depth in terms of the knowledge that they will access, and we offer breadth in terms of the range of subjects that students will study. At Key Stage 3, all students have access to all subjects. We don't have any particular pathways where some students study more than others. Every student has access to the same qualifications, the same curriculum. And that's the same at Key Stage 4. So our Year 9s in the next few months are going to be getting ready to choose their options, and they will have access to the full range of qualifications, regardless of what their personal excellence looks like, whether that's a grade 3, a grade 4, a grade 9, because we believe that everybody has the right to access the qualifications that they feel passionate about and want to study further in. It is our intent that students will acquire and retain the more knowledge they ever have about how our brains work and how learning works. And when students are exposed to knowledge in a classroom and they do a bit of work on that knowledge at that point has not been learned. Learning is about a permanent state of change in the brain. And that only happens when that knowledge that they've been exposed to is revisited and retrieved and repeated and tested, and that they go over it and over it and over it. You will know yourself, you'll hear a song on the radio that you like, but you won't be able to sing it the first time you've heard it. But when you've listened to it 45 times on repeat and everybody else around you is sick of it, you will know all the words. And that is because you've repeated it and you've practiced it and you've remembered it, and the bits you weren't sure about, you've gone back and you've checked and you've listened to again. It's exactly the same for the knowledge that our students will see in school. If they don't get into habits of revisiting and testing themselves and talking about it, it will not stick. And we're talking about knowledge in year seven at the moment, but that is the foundation for the GCSE exam base. And so it's absolutely essential that we are working together as staff and as parents to support our young people to be having those opportunities to revisit and to check and to recall that knowledge. And so Mrs. Robinson, one of the things she's going to talk about in a little while is around how you can support, but one of the things you can do is ask them at the end of the day what they've been learning about. Ask them to tell you what they've done in their lessons. Check what they've remembered from their lessons. If they've brought their books home, test them. It doesn't have to be scary, it doesn't have to be big, but you just asking them, because by the time they come home to you, they've had 5 hours of knowledge and practice, and that's a lot. But if they can recall it and practice it and talk about it, it will help them to remember it better. And on top of that knowledge, we look to develop literacy, because it's so important that all of our students leave here with good levels of literacy. And Mrs. Hamilton's going to talk to you about that a bit later. That they develop their numerical skills, but that also they develop their spiritual, their moral, their social, and their cultural development, because that is what we need to develop these whole young people that are going to go out and be fantastic citizens of our world. So in terms of how we organise our curriculum, just so you've got a little bit of a picture of what your children are kind of working within, we split our students into two blocks. They are two equal halves. We've literally split them down the middle in terms of their SATs, previous attainment, and they're split into two halves and then six groups. Those blocks are equal based on that prior attainment at Key Stage 2. In most subjects, students will be split into those six blocks, and those six blocks on each side will be 5 mixed attainment groups plus 1 smaller support group at the bottom for those students who might just need a bit of extra time to focus on their learning and to develop their practice. Now, I do want to repeat at this point, those students in that smaller class still have access to the same curriculum and the same knowledge. It might just be that it needs to be taught in a slightly different way, that they need a little bit more time and a little bit more support to access that knowledge and be able to apply it. In English, we have 4 mixed attainment groups, plus a support group, plus a top set. And both of those models are based on the research that is current in education that shows that the vast majority of students will progress best if they are in groups of mixed attainment and they are learning and developing with each other. Where there is slightly more evidence to suggest that a more setted approach is more effective is with the students at the top end of attainment and the students at the lower end of current attainment, because they need that support. In drama, music, art, and in design technology, we have 6 equal mixed attainment groups of equal sizes. And then in PE, we also have 6 mixed attainment groups, but they are single gender. But just to reiterate, because I think it's really important that you are clear about this, that all of our students have access to that full and broad curriculum, and that we prioritise literacy development as well. So we have standalone reading and grammar lessons each fortnight to supplement the English curriculum, because we feel that that is incredibly important to focus on those skills. And that persists through year 8 and 9 as well. Students will follow a 2-week timetable. And across those 2 weeks, these are the subject learning hours. So I'll just give you a second to look over them. So these are the number of hours per fortnight that students will study each of those subjects. As you can see, we do prioritise the core, because that is where we have the widest breadth of knowledge. But we also provide hours for the creative subjects, for technology, for humanities, because we are absolutely, in the year nine, students will choose a narrower range of subjects for them to specialise in. Fully appreciate that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour, and there's a lot of information there, but there's actually a huge amount more on our website, and I would encourage you to just find yourself half an hour at some point to just explore the website. And from my point of view, particularly the curriculum area. So if you go to the website, one of the top bars at the top is curriculum. The slides and the audio from tonight will be in there, linked in there in a few days' time, so that's where you'll access that. But also, if you then go to the Key Stage 3 section in that drop-down menu, you will have access to all of the long-term plans for all of the subjects. So you will be able to see exactly what your child should be learning at any point in the year, and that hopefully will then enable you to support them because you'll know what it is you're supposed to be asking them about. There is a QR code there, and that will take you directly to that section of the website. So if anybody wants to get that now, please feel free. But it is accessible from the website itself, and obviously this will be accessible on our slides. So I'll just give you 30 seconds in case you want to get that. And then from that link, as you'll see, you get the full list of subjects, which are all linked. And then from there, you will be able to access the long-term plans for every subject right through to year 11. So you'll not only be able to see what your children are doing now, but actually where that curriculum journey is going to take them. I hope that was useful information. I do appreciate it was a lot of information. As always, if you have any further questions at the end of the presentations, please feel free to come and speak to us or to contact us at school at any time. I'm now going to pass to Mrs. Robinson, who is our assistant head teacher for learning and teaching.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to talk to you today. So as Miss Catlow said, my name is Mrs. Robinson, and it's my privilege to be in charge of learning and teaching at the school. And the first thing I really want to say is that we are passionate about excellent teaching and fantastic outcomes for your students. All teachers at this school strive to give the best possible delivery so that your children can make the most progress and achieve their personal best. And that's because, as we can see above, you know, all the evidence shows that the best thing that we can do for your children, for our students, is to deliver high quality learning and teaching. And research shows that that has the biggest impact on what they're going to achieve at GCSE. And as Mr. Craig shared with you, we achieve excellent outcomes at our school. Now, some of the policies that we have at our school, I'm not going to be able to go through every single one with you, but I will go through a few key ones which your children might talk about. So first of all, children might talk about PROUD, and that's one of our systems at school, which is for our presentation of work. Obviously, in life, when you have to give a report or a presentation or a document, you their presentation, how that and so we do an initiative called PROUD. And in fact, next week is our first PROUD Golden Week of the year, where students get the opportunity to receive rewards such as certificates for excellently presented work. So I'm sure your children will be talking about that. The second thing I want to talk about is teacher feedback. So in the past, there used to be a real culture of lots and lots of, you know, marking and green pen over books. Now, we do mark assessments and we do regularly check our books. But what you might find more is students talking about verbal feedback that they've had. And if you do look through their books, you might see whole class marking sheets where they receive really bespoke feedback. So feedback is something that is part of every single lesson. And our teachers are trained to kind of give that feedback on the go, which research suggests is the most impactful feedback in terms of bringing students' progress on. We also have self and peer assessment. So again, if you look at your children's books, you will see that we ask them to write in black pen, but that they do self and peer assessment in red pen. And that just means that we've gone through the answers and they're checking their work. Obviously, they will tick if it's correct, but our students are also really good at writing in the correct answer if there's any misconceptions or misunderstandings, which will then be helpful for their revision and their independent study, which I'll come to a little bit later. In addition to self-assessment, we have mad time, okay? And it's not when they go crazy, I promise. It's when they've had different colour, could be verbal or it could be written feedback from a teacher, and they're making those improvements to their work, okay? So if you ever get their books home and you see some blue pen, that is what that's all about. A further thing is literacy, and Miss Hamilton is going to talk about this later on, but we're really, really passionate about the development of literacy skills at the Radcliffe School, and in a moment I'm going to talk to you about one initiative that we're doing this year to reinforce that further, but every single lesson, each subject will have subject-specific literacy, so disciplinary literacy relevant to their subject, embedded into lessons. And that is often one of the key differences, to be honest, that you find from primary moving to secondary school, the amount of disciplinary literacy that is involved. So please, as we've said, talk to your children about that, because it can be quite a steep kind of increase. It's normal to feel a bit overwhelmed, but just talk to your child about it and that should be fine. And finally, learning at home, and I'm going to come to that in a moment, but we do have a kind of app called Satchel One, where you can monitor the home learning that has been set for your child. You will be able to access that, and you can see when their assignments are due and what's upcoming, and so you can support them with that at home. So I mentioned before about how important the development of literacy is to us at the Radcliffe School. And one of the initiatives that we're using this year to help develop literacy skills is classroom climates. Now, what are classroom climates? So classroom climates are really a tool for us to help students understand how they should behave during different phases of the lesson in our classroom. Now, these aren't brand new and we're not doing anything different with them. It's just a way of kind of branding different parts of our lessons so that students really understand what's expected of them. And these climates provide opportunities for teacher talk, so where we are delivering the lesson, class discussion, developing students' vital oracy skills and presentation skills for the future, which in turn develop their written skills, and also silent, focused work where they are developing their written skills in relation to a particular concept. So I'm just going to take you through each of these climates because I'm sure your students might have talked to you about them because teachers are using them all the time. So climate one is where the teacher might be speaking to the class, could be teaching a new concept. And so at this point, we expect one voice to be used, and that's the teacher's. That students should be really kind of practicing active listening. So that's pens down as appropriate, or they might be making notes, that they're looking at the speaker, that they're tracking the speaker as they're talking, a bit like all of you are now, that they're listening carefully, and that they are calm and respectful. And obviously not fiddling with things, but giving the speaker their full focus. So that's classroom climate one, which would be in the phase of a lesson which we call our activate, where we are imparting new knowledge. Classroom climate two is where students are actually talking to each other under kind of structured conditions. So they might be completing a speaking task, or develop kind of their listening skills, so them listening to each other and being able to summarise, but also developing their confidence in speaking. So this will be where they're listening to each other very carefully, sharing ideas, asking questions, and taking turns. And at this point in the lesson, if you were to see the class, you would see a lot of activity. A lot of kind of noise, but focused noise, because they're talking about a particular question. And finally, in climate three, this is where students will be applying their knowledge and getting on with independent tasks. So this could be a written task, for example, where they're putting all of their learning together from the other parts of a lesson. So they need that space to think. It will be a very quiet atmosphere in the classroom. It could be silent or it could be extremely quiet. At this point, the teacher would be circulating the room, checking for understanding, picking up on any misunderstandings or misconceptions with the students, and then sharing those with the class. So that's where they're kind of really putting everything together and working on a task. So those are our classroom climates, and we've been using them for 5 weeks now, and they're going really, really well, and students have responded brilliantly to them. A further thing that I just want to make you aware of, which you could well be aware of already, is the MyCAS app, okay, which is a free app which helps you to kind of view everything about your child at school. Now, there is a link to this on the website. Obviously, there's a QR code up there. And this kind of provides you information on attendance, also behaviour logs. So, for example, if your child gets a positive log during the day, you will be able to check that and discuss it with them. Any letters that are given to your child will be on there. Also, homework, there will be links to that. Their timetable, so you can talk to them about what lessons they've got coming up that day. Basically, all the information that you need. So if you don't have that app already, and I'm guessing a lot of you do, just by your reaction, it's just a reminder about that, because it's an absolutely fantastic tool. So obviously, I've talked to you a lot about learning teaching, which, as I said, I'm incredibly passionate about. However, I also want to speak to you a little bit about independence. It's one of our aims to really build students' independence from the start in Year 7. And as we've talked about today, that really is one of the big things which contribute to a child's success if they can do their independent study at home. Now, I know, because I've got a child who's in Year 6 at the minute, I know that your children are all used to this from primary. There's reading homework, maths homework, spelling homework. So this is nothing new. It's just that how it's presented might be slightly differently because it's per subject. So it just takes a little while to get used to. But I'm just going to give you some kind of tips about kind of fostering that independence in students. And then also something that you guys can do at home to help. To help your child develop their independence. So first of all, at the Radcliffe School, we truly believe that independent learners need to take personal responsibility. So obviously, as staff, we are so supportive and we will help students do that. But at the end of the day, it is their responsibility to do the right thing, be in the right place at the right time. So go with some responsibility for their revision from this point in Year 7, okay? So going over material learned, using the various online resources that we have available to them. And we will obviously tell them about those, but it's important that they use them. They should also kind of realise, even from this stage, their strengths and weaknesses. So everyone has their kind of favourite subjects, which they're really strong at. But then there might be other subjects which we might need a bit more support in. We're really lucky at this school to have so many enrichment opportunities, so where students can go at a lunchtime to participate in clubs and speak to their teachers. So they have lots of opportunities to work on those weaknesses and also complete further learning. In addition, we have PLG time in the morning, which is more commonly referred to in other schools as tutor time. And we do use some of that time to work on study skills, so to help students prepare for assessments and also teach them how to revise. Because often, and we're all led to believe, aren't we, that just reading and highlighting kind of helps you revise, when actually the research shows that it doesn't. It's applying that knowledge and testing yourself, which really helps you to retain information. We also do expect students to study at home for all assessments, and all of the teachers in the school will give plenty of notice that an assessment is coming up. So, for example, with my Year 11s, I gave them over a week and a half's notice, so they knew. And in addition to that, the activities in lesson will help them revise, but then it's important that they complete. So, very that key that students utilise the teachers. Okay, the teachers are the experts, and sometimes a problem might occur which could have been ironed out. So please encourage, if your child comes home and says, oh, I'm really, really stuck in this subject, encourage them to speak to that member of staff, okay, and have a chat with them and just talk through what they're struggling with, because all of our staff are so approachable and will help them with anything. And finally, obviously, and I've alluded to this already, it's absolutely vital that you do plan for and complete any home learning. As I said, it is a little bit different to primary school. It tends to be set on the same, you know, once a week, whereas at, you know, high school, you might get English on one day, then maths on another day, you know, your languages, humanities on a different day, and it's just important to keep up with that. So please support your child in doing so. So for me to finish, I just want to go through some kind of top tips of how you can support your secondary age child at home. So first of all, and Miss Catlow has already mentioned this, but it goes like saying show an interest. And I know sometimes when you ask your child, what have you done at school today? You might get, oh, I don't know. But then I find with my son, if I ask him later on, or maybe when it's bedtime or bath time, then the truth will come out. And so it's just kind of, you know, asking again and trying to really unpick, oh, that's interesting. I learned that when I was at school, and then having a conversation. If your child knows you're interested, then they're more likely to tell you more. And then you can talk about it. And as Miss Catlow said, kind of revise with home learning. It's never too early to start revision. And I really mean that. You might think, oh, it's year seven, but absolutely. You know, students will have assessments in their subject this half term or this term. Students will have end of year assessments in year seven. And it's really important that we get in these study habits now, so that by the time we get to year 10 and year 11, when it's more full on, everything is fully embedded and you don't need to go back over the basics that you studied in year 7, 8 and 9. It might sound like a basic thing, but watching the news together is actually a really lovely thing to do with your child, or watching a current affairs programme. Anything that can provoke discussion and that kind of critical thinking in your child is a really useful tool to do. So if you have time to do that, or maybe just, you know, like listen to the radio, and if you hear the news, Newsround is a very good kind of site. If you haven't used that before, it's only like a 10-minute program, and it presents it in a child-friendly way where you can have a discussion. That's a lovely thing to do. I've alluded to this already, but offer to test them on what they've been learning. Again, just digging up, you know, from when you were at school, kind of like, oh yeah, I remember that. And then see what you can remember, see what they can remember is always fun. Miss Hamilton is going to talk about this very shortly, but reading with them. So believe it or not, a child's reading age is one of the single predictors of their success in future life. So I would really encourage reading with them, and also modelling it yourself, reading a book yourself, talking to them about what you're reading, really piquing that interest in your child. Help them be organised. So I think one of the biggest shifts from primary to secondary school is that level of organisation in the morning, packing that bag the night before. Obviously, at primary school, you get given all the equipment. We expect students to come with a pencil case, to come with their geometry set, to come with a calculator, a ruler, etc. Making sure that equipment is in their bag the night before, doing that with your child. Obviously, getting their uniform out ready for the next morning is always really helpful, because we know how crazy mornings are. And just checking the timetable. What have you got tomorrow? Have you got everything for it? Those are really good tips. And I kind of alluded to this already, but just checking on their equipment. And if they do need any new equipment, some of the equipment you can buy from school, but just encouraging them to kind of ask if they arrive in the morning without a pen, because maybe their pen's run out and you haven't had time to buy them a new one because it's a busy working day, just get them to check in with their PLG or their year manager so that that doesn't become a problem during the day. So thank you very much for listening. I'm now going to pass on to Mrs. Hamilton.
Thank you. Yeah, so my name is Mrs. Hamilton and I lead on literacy here. And I wanted to start off by showing you this picture of this little boy, because it reminds me of my two little boys, the little blonde-haired boys. And they absolutely love reading. So I'm very lucky in that way. But when we look at the picture, that little boy is stood on a pile of books and he's looking over this wall. The wall was amazing things that he can see because he's standing on the pile of books. And my message to you today is that the best thing we can give our children, the golden ticket we can give them, is reading fluency, and being able to read really well will give them that golden ticket to that seat at the table that Miss Catlow was talking about, to their GCSEs, to the curriculum and to the world around them. 25% of 15-year-olds have a reading age of 12 or under, and what we need to understand is the GCSE exams are written to a reading age of 16 and 17. So if you arrive in an exam with a reading age of 12, you're not going to be able to read it properly in order to be able to answer it fully. 1 in 8 disadvantaged children do not own a single book. And children who are weak readers will struggle as much in maths and in science as they will in subjects like English or RS or history. And students are less able to learn if you can't read, if you can't understand what's going on in the text or in the textbook or in the lesson resources or in the revision guide. You're not going to be able to develop those skills that you need in the subject because your reading skills are holding you back. And the DfE said that these GCSEs introduced in 2017 are more demanding and they have wordier questions. And so we need to be able to prepare our children for those demanding exams with the wordier questions. But more than that, because that's about their achievement in school, you should encourage your child to read, because children who read books more than once a week by age 16 gain higher results, but also 19% of readers say it stops them from feeling lonely. And regular readers report feeling less stressed and less feelings of depression than non-readers. And studies have shown us that people who read for pleasure have higher levels of self-esteem and they're more able to cope with difficult situations. Reading has found to improve sleep patterns. And if you read for just 30 minutes a day, you're 20% more likely to have a greater life satisfaction. And my favourite statistic on there is that people who read for 3.5 hours a week, which is 30 minutes a day, 2% of your day, have a 17% higher life expectancy than those who don't. So reading makes you live longer. So why should you get your child to read? Of course, it's excellent for them improving their GCSE grades, but also it makes them happier, it makes them healthier, it makes them more able to have a seat at that table, to be able to communicate and have something to say. It makes them see things and see parts of the world that they won't be able to visit. They can't go back into the past, they can't go into the future yet, they can't go to some countries, but they can read books about them and they can access things that they wouldn't be able to. They'd be limited by geography or by time. So I'm really encouraging you to really encourage your children to read and kind of speak about reading as a positive thing, as an exciting thing, as something that they get to do. Because reading is so important, we do quite a few tests in school. And because we want to figure out their reading age and their reading needs, but also some additional literacy needs. So at the moment, Year 7 students are having NGRT tests. And those tests just give us an idea of their reading age and their literacy abilities. And those are going on, they're online, there's no preparation required, it's like a cognitive test, it's not a knowledge base in what they're reading. And this, what we'd like is that all children, their reading age was at least as high as their chronological age. So if you're 12, your reading age would be 12 and so on. Once we have that data, then we then start to think about who needs extra help, and so we might use something called a Salford test, and the Salford test is used to triangulate some of the other data we've got to make sure we've got it right, but also it's to show progress. So if they go into one of our reading interventions, we do the Salford test at the start and the Salford at the end, and it shows that progress. That's completed on paper with a member of the library team or the SEND department, so that we can just track that progress that they're making with their reading and their comprehension. And also in Year 7 and in Year 8, they'll be doing Accelerated Reader, which they'll know from primary school, which has a STAR test, and also gives them like a reading age, but it gives them a ZPD, a zone of proximal, proximal development, that's it, it's completely gone, zone of proximal development. And what that means is that you, in your ZPD, at the bottom end of it, it should be really easy to read that book. You can sit and do that on your own. At the top end, it might be a bit tricky and you might need someone to support you. And the middle, it's stretching you, but you can do it on your own. So we give them their ZPD and we encourage them to not go to the bottom of that range, but to try and get to the middle to the top. Because if you read into the middle and to the top, you're gradually shifting your ZPD up and improving your reading age. So those are some of the tests that we do, and then on top of that, if we find that students need any additional help, we have one-to-one reader listeners, and we also have a few programs in school that we're using. So we have Sparks Reader. It's available to everybody. We're not at Science at the top on the right-hand side. They just click the drop-down box and they can get Sparks Reader. They can just use that whenever they want. So if they're saying, I've got no homework, or I've got nothing to do, or I'm bored, get them on Sparks Reader. It's completely device neutral. They can do it on a laptop, on a phone, on an iPad. They can do it on any device. Also, we've got Lexia Power Up. So once we've finished the NGRT testing, we'll be taking a group of students into the library once a week during PLG time, and they will be working on some specific skills that maybe they've missed. Maybe in primary school they've missed it, or they're not so good with that and they need a bit of development. And it might be they're working on a skill from Key Stage 1 or Key Stage 2. That doesn't mean that their reading age is Key Stage 1 or 2. It just means that they missed that bit and they just need some support with that, and it might be holding them back. So Lexia really diagnoses exactly what they need. It's really it's really adaptive and personalised. So they only work on the skills that they need, and it helps them make rapid progress. So you might find they're coming home and I've done NGRT, and then I'm going into AR, and then I'm going to Lexia, and these are all the things we're doing. It's all about diagnosing what do they need and how can we help them improve that reading. So my advice to you, really, as a parent, what can you do? Is to check that your child is reading, check that they have a book. They should have a reading book from school. We give all the students a book that they borrow from the library to read. Encourage them to read it. If they really don't want to do it, start them small. So start them with 5 minutes a day and then 10, and build them up to that 20 or 30 minutes a day of reading. And then if they are coming home and saying, well, I'm in Lexia intervention, or I'm in one-to-one with the library, please encourage them to come along. Please encourage them to value that, because it is really valuable, it really works, it really helps them progress, and it will mean that by the time they get to year 10, year 11, they'll have the skills they need to access their GCSEs. And also, as Ms. Robinson has said, be a role model for your children. Read in front of them, or talk to them about what you're reading, or model a good attitude towards reading at home. And we know with children, they don't always know what's good for them. So they don't always know the best thing for them, but we as adults know the best thing they can be doing is spending their time reading. And so you've got to stand in the gap between they don't want to do it, but you know it's good for them, and encourage them to do that thing that we know is really good for them. And if you do have any concerns or any questions about any of the things that we're doing in school for their reading, please do contact school and we'll be able to call you back or to give you the information that you need. So the last thing I'd like to say, just before I finish, is at the end of this session, I'd like to invite you up to the library on level three. If you want to come up to level three with me, and I will give out a golden ticket to any student that is here tonight, and you can bring it back into the school over the next few days, and you can swap it for a free brand new book of your choosing from the selection that we've got, so you can get started on your reading. Thank you.
Hi everyone, thank you for coming this evening. I'm Miss Wybrow, and I've got the absolute pleasure of overseeing the year group. So I'm liaison for year seven, and I'm actually starting my journey at the Radcliffe School with this cohort. So it's an absolute aspirations really, because I think you've been given lots of information tonight about what we do at the Radcliffe School, but sometimes none of that is possible if we don't have those young people aspiring, you know, to do their best and to be where they want to be when they grow up. And I think, reflecting on as a parent myself, my children are starting their journey at primary school. And I think when you are little, and I was reading an article on the next slide, you see the world completely differently, and there are lots of kind of things that you think you want to do, and you have conversations with your children quite often. And as they grow older, I think quite often we see and hear quite a lot of these sayings, particularly as teenagers. You know, as human beings even, we are quite quick to say, oh, it's too hard that, or I can't do it, I'm not good enough at that. Well, I don't really know what I'm going to do now. Whereas when they were little, they might have had an aspiration to be a ballet dancer, or, you know, something completely different to now, when they're in secondary school and they're thinking, well, I can't really be bothered to do that, or I'll do that homework later, or what's even the point? And you're having that constant battle. So I think you've been kind of told tonight and about starting off young. So the little article that I read was all about, for a while, the world seems limitless. Sorry. And you go out and you start thinking about, you know, as a young child, what do you want to do? What do you aspire to be? And we really, really need to share these kind of stories with our young people, not just in primary school, and not just saying, oh yeah, that's great, you know, you want to be an actress, or you want to be a famous footballer. You know, we need to kind of bring this culture in of, why not me? And Miss Catlow spoke to year seven in assembly, all year groups, but particularly with year seven. And she shared some ideas and some occupations and some aspirations with those children and saying to them, why can't it be you? Why can't you be the next doctor, the next surgeon? Why can't you be the next Ed Sheeran? Why can't you be a famous poet? Why can't you be an astronaut and go in to space? So the world is their oyster, and I know it is cliche, but we need to start this. You know, we need to continue this, because I feel at primary school, and as they are little, you know, we really foster that, but then it seems like things get in the way. So we really, really want to continue students having those high aspirations, whatever that may look like for them. And Miss Catlow, I took this from her assembly because I thought the quote really resonated. And the greatest danger for most of us is that really we aren't setting our aims high enough. You know, she talked about having a post-it note and talking about kind of having a checklist. And if we just say and put one thing on our checklist and it's quite achievable, then we aren't aiming high enough. So it's about making sure that we set the bar high for these students, for your children, so that they can be the best that they can be and they can aspire to be, you know, the things that they set out to be. So, raising aspirations then. So it is all about going for success, even when the going gets tough, even when it's difficult, even when we come into contact with those subjects that we might not have done at primary school. You know, design and technology, they might not have done woodwork and things like that. It might be a particular sport in PE that they've, you know, not taken part in. But it's about pushing through those boundaries, seeing a purpose in learning. So when when students go in each classroom, teachers will share, why are we doing this? What is that going to enable you to do in your future? So that they can see the purpose in that learning. Fulfilling our core value of excellence, whatever that may look like in every individual. And not just settling for what you have, yeah, striving for success and being inspired by others. So staff members that are role models, you know, I'll talk later about our alumni. So using these students who have been really successful at the Radcliffe School to ensure that, you know, we are giving our students, our current students, role models and showing that, yeah, I can do that as well. Absolutely, I can achieve that. So why is it so important? And the research really shows, and I'll just flip to the next side, is that aspirations are really positively correlated with higher achievement later in life. And there's more significant, there a drive for that later life success. Building knowledge and skills, as we've many of the staff have talked about tonight, is really important to foster those existing aspirations, trying to change them themselves. So we want to foster those aspirations. Simply having high aspirations isn't enough. We need to show them, we need to give them the knowledge, we need to speak to them, we need to show them how to pursue, what they need to do to get to where they want to be. So it's all about that triangulation or circle, if you like, from this diagram. It's all about the student, speaking to the student, finding out what your child wants to do later on in life, and that may change. But having those conversations at a really young age is important. Then, obviously, as teachers, we can kind of put them on the right pathways, give them kind of experiences that we've had before with maybe former students or even ourselves, and making sure that they know where to go to pursue a career in X, Y, or Z. So, parental support, I think the most powerful tool, and as other members of staff tonight have alluded to, is all about talking to your children about the future. Even if that is uncertain, even if they're not sure, you know, talking about the jobs that they might want to hold when they're older, the career pathways that they might want to go on, and the journey that they want to take in their future. And again, encouraging that curiosity, just like Mrs. Hamilton said about reading, talking to them about the reading, talk to them and ask, you know, what are you passionate about? It might change year on year. It might be that when they come to us in year seven, so it's, they've been really kind of maintaining that, you know, knowledge of your own child, helping them to explore different careers and pathways. And obviously we will do that as a school, but I'll talk about other ways that you can do that at home, really praising them. Yeah, thinking about kind of what efforts they've done, you know, in different subjects. If it is something that they want to be, you know, a writer when they're older, really praise that effort in English and take part in, you know, the English homework that they bring home, that you are part of that and you are talking through them about that subject knowledge. And staying connected with school. So please talk to us. Yeah, the more that we talk and communicate, the better it is for your child, asking kind of what they're learning. So it's, if it's a parents' evening or even tonight, you know, and looking at our website and thinking about the long-term plans. So for example, in English, what are they learning at the moment? Okay, in maths, what is it now? What will it be next? How can you tie that into potential aspirations for the future? And this is just a little kind of thing that I came up with. So, you know, this is just an example of a child that might be dreaming of a career as a doctor. And it's just kind of things that we could consider. So having that growth mindset, encouraging your child to explore science. It might be looking at some research that they're interested in, taking them on a trip, you know, to the Science and Industry Museum at a weekend, nurturing skills such as communication. You know, they are so important. Little lots and lots of nurses, problem solving, even role playing. You know, my little girls have a little doctor's kit, a nurse's kind of dress up outfit, you know, and just making sure that you do that and you enable that curiosity at a young age. Extra reading. Okay, we talk about reading being so important, but particularly if they did want to be a doctor, exploring reading and material in science, attending extracurricular. We have a wide range of extracurricular opportunities on offer at the Radcliffe School. So it might be science club. I've put that twice there. Create revision timetables. So when it gets to assessments and planning for that, you know, it might be assessment week. We're thinking about prioritising certain subjects, particularly core subjects, as well as obviously having time to explore those other subjects and not just leaving them to the side. Exploring routes and pathways to GCSEs, researching the best colleges, okay? And, you know, even then, when it comes to it, applying to that medical school, if that is something that they still want to pursue. So as a school, careers education and independent study, we teach that from year seven onwards. We're really, really all about getting it in early as year seven students, not leaving it till too late where they go on work experience at year 10 or they're looking at colleges in year 11 and they're not really, you know, decided on what they want to do. We're all about thinking about that now and making sure that we have visits from professionals as well as obviously more so at key stage four. Mentoring and personal development is in our curriculum. They have an hour a week of that, as well as other personal development experiences. And just setting the bar really high, setting expectations and celebrating effort, celebrating success in assemblies, in classrooms, at home, and just making sure that we really broaden the horizons of our students and of obviously your children. So just some of the things, and obviously other members of staff have talked about this, platforms such as Sparks Reader, I know they have that for maths and science as well, you know, BBC Bite Size as well as YouTube. I remember when I was at school, we didn't have kind of the amount of things and platforms available to students as we do today. So encouraging them to revise in different ways to make sure they are retaining that information. Researching things, as I say, doing homework with them, things that obviously my colleagues have already kind of alluded to. And then finally, I just wanted to draw your attention to the alumni page that is on our website. And you can see, obviously, I've just got a snapshot of a few students that have done exceptionally well at the Radcliffe School. We really do want students to think and use these as role models and think, no, I can do that as well. Yeah. And it's all about, obviously, them having those aspirations and really kind of fostering that as, you know, as families, as teachers, and making sure that they achieve excellence, whatever that may be. So, do you want me to close? Yeah. I'm just going to hand back over to Miss Catlow. Thank you very much for listening.
So, final thanks for attending tonight. There has been a lot of information, but as I said, these slides and the audio will be available in the next few days. We would really appreciate any questions or feedback you've got. And when the slides go out onto the website, we will also send you an opportunity to give us some feedback on tonight. We've done this slightly differently than we did for the other year groups because we want to start trying something a little bit different, but we are absolutely open to ideas that you're sitting there and think, actually, if you'd just done X or you'd done Y differently, it would have been even better. Please do let us know. We are absolutely open to that feedback because we want to make these events something that you want to come to year on year that are going to benefit you and your families. So thank you again. Any questions, please grab us at the end. I would encourage you to follow us up to the library now so you can see the facilities we've got and the importance we place on reading, but also to get the golden ticket for your child so they can come back and claim their book tomorrow. And as I say, when we send the note out about the slides, please do fill in the feedback for us because that will be really helpful. Thank you so much.